I've got something to share with you tonight. It's called Controversy in the Churches. And, you know, there's controversy going on everywhere. And in, I was saying before about a lot of these churches that call themselves churches shouldn't be called churches. What does the word church mean? It comes from the Greek word ecclesia. The ecclesia is the called out ones. Called out what? Called out from the world by the Lord to obey the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the church is. And these, all these organizations calling themselves churches, they don't even take any notice of the Word of God. They don't. Alright? They name the name of the Lord Jesus, you know, that scripture says. They're always talking about my name, but they don't do my word. They're always naming my name. Jesus. Oh, Jesus this and Jesus that. And Lord, Lord. They're always saying Lord, Lord. Unreal. And they're not really even saved, most of them. Anyhow, it's called Controversy in the Churches, this short discussion tonight. So, in this day of rampant apostasy in the professing churches, which you all know about, because we talk about it a lot, all right, and we need to talk about it a lot. The churches that aren't talking about the apostasy are all the ones that are going into it. We need to shine the light and look around, all right? Amen? So, in this day of rampant apostasy in the professing churches, there are many highly esteemed women who are accepted as public speakers, teachers, and pastors, and they have huge numbers of followers who practically reverence every word they speak and write. Now, before I start, I've got nothing against women. I love women. I love them. I love them so much I married one. All right? I love women, and I love Christian women too. All right? I've got nothing against women. I'm not a male misogynist. Alright? So, even though some people might say I am. Anyhow, in October last year, 2019, during a televised meeting, the well-known Southern Baptist pastor, John MacArthur, you all heard of John MacArthur? He's famous, eh? He's really, really famous in the Southern Baptist Convention. He's one of the main teachers. He knows everything about the Bible, this John MacArthur. Anyhow, John MacArthur was asked a question regarding, let me tell you about what John MacArthur's doing today. He's with a group of people that are into all the, he's a Calvinist, alright? He's a Calvinist for a start, so that says something, alright? But he's associated with all these people that are trying to get us to accept Muslims and their teaching as not a threat to Christianity. And so they're trying to get, they call it Chrislam. The Pope is behind all this too, to try and unite all the religions in the world together, Islam and Christianity. They call it Chrislam. Well, this John MacArthur, he's a big name that is actually involved in that, to try and get us all to just welcome the Muslims in our midst and don't worry about their doctrines and that they want to cut your head off if you don't accept Muhammad and all this sort of stuff. All right. So even though he's a big name and hugely influential, he's off the planet too, alright? Anyhow, John MacArthur, he was asked a question, you know, on this televised event that he was at. He was asked a question regarding the hugely popular Southern Baptist lady pastor, Beth Moore. Have you heard of Beth Moore? Ah, righto. She's a big name too. Big name. But she's a lady pastor, alright? But MacArthur, he's against that, you see. So, he was asked, they knew, they're going to trap him, you see. What do you think about this? He bluntly replied, she should go home. I saw the video, where he said it. She should go home. Alright? And then he added, there is no case that can be made biblically for a woman preacher. Period. End of discussion. Many big names in the churches, particularly in America, took issue with what they saw as a mocking tone coming from MacArthur. And Beth Moore received an outpouring of support from leaders and evangelical Christian, the evangelical Christian community. Big name pastors and leaders in the churches worldwide came out defending Beth Moore, the lady pastor, alright? So, for example, J.D. Greer, you probably don't know of him, I know all about him though, I've studied up on him. For example, J.D. Greer, the apostate president of the Southern Baptist Convention, he's the main leader of the Southern Baptist Convention, a young bloke that wears jeans and sits on a stool and all this sort of stuff, you see. He tweeted, that Beth Moore was welcome in our home at any time. John MacArthur, you speak like that against Beth Moore? She's welcome in our home at any time. Kay Warren, the wife of the justice apostate Rick Warren, you know, I know Rick Warren, I talked about him a couple of weeks ago, she called Beth Moore, a class act. She's great. She's a class act. And added that she is a faithful witness of how to be clay in the potter's hands, a flesh and bone disciple, willing to be made something or nothing. So she came out defending Beth Moore too, you see, and throwing rocks at John MacArthur. Anyhow, best-selling author Max Licato, apostate, said he was grieved. I'm grieved over MacArthur's derisive comments, and added the gender divisive and politically correct question. He asked this question, dividing gender and politically correct. He said, are we white male aged leaders of the church listening? Are we listening, us white male aged old fellows, you see? Are we heeding the message of our sisters in Christ? Are you taking notice about what Beth Moore's saying? So he came out in defense of it too, Max Licato, very popular writer. Okay, in response to MacArthur's inflammatory remarks, Beth Moore herself publicly announced, I did not surrender to a calling of man. I surrendered to a calling of God. It never occurred to me for a second not to fulfill it. I will follow Jesus, and Jesus alone, all the way home. And I will see his beautiful face and proclaim, worthy is the Lamb. That's what she said in response to MacArthur. She also added, you don't have to let me serve you. That gets to be your choice. Whether or not I serve Jesus is not up to you. So, waste of time telling her to go home. She's defending herself. John MacArthur, look out, you're in trouble, mate. In a futile attempt to defend himself against all the public criticism, John MacArthur came out and stated, I do not like to give short answers. This is like a week later, you see. I do not like to give short answers. I don't like to get in a position to do that because I feel like that just escalates confusion. So I want to take the opportunity to address the issue of women preachers, to give you a more thorough answer from the Word of God on this very important subject. MacArthur then stated that empowering women makes men weak in the church, all right? And weak men make everybody vulnerable to danger. He's right. When you start weakening the leadership in the church, the devil can come in. He stated that Scripture exhibits no lack of clarity regarding the role of women within the church, and that women pastors and women preachers are the most obvious evidence of churches rebelling against the Bible. Praise the Lord. Women who pastor and women who preach in the churches are a disgrace and openly reflect opposition to the clear command of the Word of God. This is flagrant disobedience. Praise the Lord. He's right. He's right. And he's game enough to get up there and say it, you see. Referring to the order of headship established by God between Adam and Eve, MacArthur went on to say, hey, it's exciting, to see all these squabbling amongst themselves, you see, in the Southern Baptist Convention. They're all apostate, a whole lot of them. But anyhow, referring to the order of the headship established by God between Adam and Eve, MacArthur went on to say, when the roles are reversed, the women are deceived. The men are made weak, worse things happen. The whole human race went down with Adam. You tamper with this order, chaos is unending. Authority and submission were established in the fall. He's right. He knows his Bible, eh? He's a Bible expert, knows everything inside out. Anyhow, regardless of the blunt manner in which MacArthur originally answered the question about Beth Moore, and despite that MacArthur himself is so badly compromised on many issues confronting the churches today, what is the truth about this controversy that got everyone so fired up? And to come out in defense of Beth Moore. Why didn't all these so-called church leaders refer people to the Bible for the truth of what God says about the issue of women pastors and teachers in the churches? Why didn't they point the people to that, to the Bible? No, they came out with their opinion, you see. The question needs to be asked on this issue, like it does on every other issue. What does the Scripture say? That's what we do here in this church. What does the Scripture say? Does the Bible support women publicly teaching men in the churches and ministering in roles of authority over them? Does it? The plain and simple answer is, as MacArthur correctly answered, there is no case. There is no case for this anywhere in Scripture. In fact, just the opposite is promoted in Scripture. Beth Moore is not a class act and a faithful witness, as her defenders proclaim. Beth Moore is, in fact, acting in flagrant disobedience to Scripture, just as MacArthur so boldly said. Confirming his apostasy and compromised version of Christianity, Max Lucado's comment is a classic example of someone who violates the clear injunction of Romans 12:1 and 2, which reads, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be," verse 2, "and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." All right? With all his white male gender rhetoric, Lucado is a classic example of a contemporary church leader who is apostate and who is conforming to this world. And it's why all of the other highly respected church leaders dodged addressing the real issue and also came out in defense of Beth Moore. They're all apostate. And that's why I say they need to stop calling those places churches. They don't agree with the word of God. Moore's response also cleverly created a straw man when she said, "I do not surrender to the calling of man," or "I did not surrender to the calling of men. I surrendered to a calling from God. I will follow Jesus." But the calling she and multitudes of others believe she has in the church is not scriptural and cannot be in God's plan. She is not following Jesus in what she's doing. She's deceived. Amen? Is that right? That's right. I'm glad you're all nodding your head. Somebody shaking their head. The role of men and women are clear in Scripture for elders and pastors and for other positions of authority. We break God's order and his command at our own peril. There was no real division over this issue until the late 19th century when the holiness movement and then the heretical Pentecostal and charismatic movements introduced women preachers. Major denominations did not accept women pastors or preachers and until at least the mid-20th century. And not until the 1960s and 70s did it become so divisive when you got people like Joyce Meyer and all that sort of people coming out, all right? The church is simply following the culture of the world in this women in leadership issue. But it is contrary to God's word. 1 Timothy 3 is clear that elders and pastors as well as deacons are to be male. They are to be the husband of one wife, not the wife of one husband, all right? No amount of grammatical and doctrinal gymnastics, red herrings, straw man arguments, or arguments from silence can change Paul's Holy Spirit-inspired words. Women are not to rule over the men in the church. In 1 Timothy 2:12, Paul you can turn to that one, please. 1 Timothy 2:12. So at least you can't go and say, "Oh, he never used the Bible." All right? 1 Timothy 2:12, Paul, as an exercise of his apostolic authority, forbids women to teach publicly in the churches or to usurp authority over the men. And he did not intend that it was a commandment that could change with the culture. So 1 Timothy 2:12, and I'm going to read from a couple of verses, all right? The proof that the Bible forbids women to teach publicly in the churches or to usurp authority over men was a commandment that was not to be changed. It wasn't to be changed just because, oh, they say, oh, the culture was different in that days, you see. It's different today. Today is different. Women are more liberated, all right? The proof of this is in verse 13 and 14 of 1 Timothy 12, where the headship of Genesis is referred to. The rule of, "I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the men," is because of two reasons given in those verses. Verse 13 refers to the original creation. Verse 13 says, "For Adam was first formed, then Eve." All right? Eve wasn't formed first. Adam was. And Eve was formed from Adam, all right? She came from Adam. Adam was first formed, then Eve. Verse 13 refers to the original creation of Adam. He was first formed. Verse 14 refers to the original order in which sin occurred, all right? Verse 14 says, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." The devil came along and deceived her, and she transgressed. Adam was not deceived by Satan. Adam was not deceived by Satan. Eve was. Adam went and sinned with his eyes wide open. That's probably worse. But Eve was deceived. That's the whole point of the issue. Forget about Adam did it on purpose, alright? Eve was the one who was deceived. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. That's the order that sin came in, alright? Adam was not deceived by Satan. Eve, the woman, was. The woman took the lead in sin. And then Adam followed. In 1 Corinthians 11:3 teaches Christ as the head. He's the head. Then man, then woman. 1 Corinthians 11:3 reads, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." And this order has not been changed by God since the time of Genesis. It hasn't changed. There are many scriptures that demonstrate that women minister to men, as they serve in various roles in the churches. But these godly women did not have any teaching authority over the men in the church. Women are never found to be holding the ordained offices of a pastor, elder, or deacon, either in scripture or in the early churches. What is really at stake here, in this inflamed debate that John MacArthur has provoked, is the authority of the Bible. That's it, it's plain and simple, which all of these big-name church leaders have willfully ignored. The question we need to ask is, why have they ignored the main issue of the authority of the Bible? Pretty simple, really. What's the reason they've ignored the Bible? They're all apostate. They're all apostate. Hey, God reveals that to us. We've got our eyes open to see that. Be vigilant, sober and alert, and don't get caught with them. God's given us, because we're walking with God, He opens our eyes to be able to see these things. But you go and talk to the people out in the churches out there, you blokes are talking nonsense. Hey, a lady when I go walking down on the Esplanade from out the AOG church, her husband owned an oil company here who offered me a job. And I was in the process of getting that job, looking after all his computer stuff and his stock and everything, when this thing arrived out in the church here and they warned him, don't employ that Huey Seaborn. Well, I still talk to that lady. The ladies didn't have too much to do with it. But every now and again I see her on the Esplanade when I'm walking. And I said one time, oh, we're still waiting for a pastor, you know, we talk about this sort of stuff. We're still waiting for a pastor. Well, why do you need a pastor? Why aren't you the pastor? Well, I can't be the pastor. Why can't you be the pastor, you? Well, I'm a remarried man. What do you mean? You can be a pastor? You know all that stuff? You've done the training? What are you talking about? You're remarried. Well, I'm married to Colleen. She's my second wife. What's that got to do with anything? I said, well, the Bible says the pastor and the elders to be the husband of one wife. I've had two. Ah, what a load of rubbish. Yes, she did. She said, that's nonsense. You've got to be joking. I said, well, that's why we're different, you see. The Bible says that, and we obey it. We obey it. And God blesses us, eh? God. And she hasn't got discernment to see anything. As we obey God, He shines the light and shines it before us so we can see. And when you start going against God's word, like we said the other week, Andy, those people start saying stupid things that reveals that they're being deceived. They're being deceived. Just watch this space, I say. When somebody walks away from the word of God, just watch this space. They're going to go stupid, all right? You'll see them go stupid. But anyhow, the question we need to ask is, why have they ignored the main issue of the authority of the Bible? And I said, it's pretty simple. They're all apostate. We live in the day of the prophesied falling away from the faith, the day of the great apostasy. These church leaders don't love the truth of God's word. And God solemnly warns in 2 Thessalonians 2:10-12, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, for this cause God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, and they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God gives them over to it. That's why I say, just watch this space. God's going to arrive on the scene and you're going to start saying stupid things. You're going to say stupid things. Amen. So we need to keep close to God's word, eh? Keep close to... Have you seen me going off the track, Andy, saying things that are stupid? Come and tell me, all right? I don't want to stand ashamed. It says we won't be ashamed when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? We don't want to be ashamed that we went and said wrong things about the word of God. So, let's pray and thank the Lord for this A little exciting sort of thing, eh? Are you just excited about... I get excited when I read this. I see them all squabbling and fighting. And it's all because they don't believe the Word of God.
Right.
Yet they're held up in the world as the most important people in the church.
They're preaching
another doctrine. Other gospel, other Jesus, other spirit, Andy, that's right. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this short instruction from your word, Lord.